Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie, here. Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant will be listed as absent. Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present except for Councilmember Sturdivant.
Thank you. I accept a motion for approval of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Clay, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. First item, and it's always a pleasure to do the presentations of Employee Service Recognition Awards. City Manager McKinney.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you again. I'm always excited about this opportunity to give service level awards. We have a long-serving staff and some really great people, and they've done a lot of really good things, and our organization has really flourished among these. I'm going to ask these people to come up first with Mandy DeMong, 5 years with the Community Services Department. She's in the Charles Paddock Zoo as a zookeeper. She came to us. From the San Diego Zoo and works primarily with our primates and cats, including the tiger, which I understand is her favorite. She's been very active in the area of behavioral enrichment. She also portrays Mrs. Claus in our annual holiday magic and musical walk around the lake event. And I didn't do that. Andy, thank you very much for being part of our team. Hey, Luke, we're going to need some training for Warren. The next is Kate Capella, 5 years, also with the Charles Paddock Zoo. She started here as an entry-level zookeeper, but quickly distinguished herself and was promoted to the senior keeper position. Kate was instrumental in reproducing, and as they often keep us at City Hall together, they wore tutus on February 2nd because they didn't get an opportunity to celebrate New Year's, so they wore tutus last week. I understand Councilmember Kelly almost hurt something laughing.
Well, I saw Rochelle come down the hallway, and I said, what's going on here? She says, go down to the end of the hallway and see the rest of the crew, and fortunately, we have them in the corner. It was quite a show, though.
Well, Rachel is our money lady. She's in charge of all the money, the business license, and any of the money that comes into City Hall, Rachel touches first. We also have Sherry Basil, 5 years with the Public Works Department. Sherry started in the Community Development Department as a plans examiner inspector, and now she's our environmental compliance inspector. She heads up that cool new program, and actually has built this cool new program, Fats, Oil, and Grease program, the FOG program, is Sherry. She's also, I want to brag about her a little bit, she's one of our real hardworking employees. She's put herself acquired certificates for environmental compliance inspector and stormwater management from the Sacramento State Office of Water Programs on her own. Thank you very much. Now we move to the fire department. We have Paul Netz, 5 years with the fire department. Here he comes. Recently married? Oh, that part wasn't on my slide. He manages the personal protective equipment program for the fire department. He's responsible for all, for ensuring that all the boots, gloves, jackets, hoods, all the fire personnel meet the state and federal safety standards. In addition, he's a metal fabricator. So if you've seen our trailer and you saw the slides of our trailer, he's primarily responsible for a lot of the work on that. Paul, thank you very much. From the police department, we have Fred Flum. I think everybody knows Fred. Fred's a senior officer. He's a hometown product, originally from Atascadero, where he attended Mayor, Santa Rosa Elementary School, Atascadero Junior High, and Atascadero High School. He was employed before us with Burlington, Vermont, and Clive, Iowa police departments before returning to a key role in our whole City Hall reconstruction project, not just because he's on the team that's doing that project, but he's the only person there is that has crawled every inch of that building both before and after the earthquake. Bob was also responsible for the construction of this facility here. He led this project. Bob, thank you very much. And Tom Birkenfeld and his wife, Christine. Tom's responsible for maintaining all of the department's breathing apparatus. Involves hundreds of man hours each year. We used to contract for this service, $2,000 to $3,000 annually. Tom put himself through the breathing mechanic school and helped create our own internal program. And over the last 3 years, has saved us over $12,000 on this program. Tom's also a key member of the Citywide Safety Committee, and he created our own employee injury prevention and wellness program. And Corey Meyer. Corey started the city some 25 years ago. Oh, I meant started with the city. But it kind of was the same, wasn't it? Corey is in the Public Works Department, has done pretty near every job there. Corey also is a certified arborist, having put himself through that training. And that gives us a variety of benefits in tree and tree maintenance practices for our own forest and the trees owned by the city. Corey plays an integral role in our plan to plant 3,000 native trees through our seedling giveaway program. And his ability to remember every name of every person he meets is uncanny. And one of our legendary customer service people. Thanks a lot, Corey. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I think we're still working on some of our mics. This one might be a little high yet. Very good. And we do thank all of our employees. We're very proud of them and know, especially in these times where we're a little thin on staff, they've really stepped up and done a whole heck of a lot. And it's really...
License. And so if you could take all of the items except 8 and vote on them, and then I can excuse myself from 8-8.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion on consent calendar items 1 through 7.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilmember Clay, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And on consent calendar item 8, we will excuse Roberta on this item. I accept a motion.
I move that we accept item 8.
I'll second.
Again, Councilmember Clay, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly. We do a voice vote on this?
Yes.
I would probably prefer
a roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
3-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We'll move on to updates from the city manager, followed by the community forum. Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. I want to take a few minutes tonight and talk a little bit about the San Simeon earthquake projects. We're still working on some of those, but we've done many, many projects, and I want to tell you that I'm really excited about the work and the leadership our staff have shown here. We heard a lot of scary stories right after the earthquake about what it was going to take to get back into business and do all these projects, how hard it was going to be to work with the federal government to put these programs together. Our efforts have been led by Rochelle Rickard and a variety of team members throughout the city and departments that have really done a super job putting this together. I just want to remind you of some of the projects. We had
the initial emergency response, where we opened an EOC the very day. I think, while I didn't find it, there was a picture of Warren Frace right there at the counter issuing permit by day end, and we had assembled a variety of disaster teams to start looking around the community. We started health and safety inspections for those buildings and our facilities that may have been damaged. Started that within the first day, and we did get some help from teams that are outside of the area that we teamed with our own employees so that they wouldn't get lost in our street system. The City Hall emergency response, we secured our own buildings, changed locks, began to fence off air. Home light, park light, we had a light break, one of the light standards broke. We needed to install some supports for it to keep it from falling. That was another one of the projects. The lake pavilion was damaged, and we repaired the damage there, the ceiling tiles and the cracks, restroom walls, a variety of small improvements there. Fire Station 1, the hose tower, you may recall, sustained a lot of damage, and we corrected that as well. The police station and the retaining wall around there required some correction to cracks and exterior concrete, and we repaired those things. We had a variety of 48 different places where we had road damage due to the earthquake, and almost 2,000 feet of cracks that we dealt with in that area. We also had road subsidence in several or four or five different areas that we were required to repair, and we did that as part of the earthquake. We replaced computers where they were damaged. We only had one computer and monitor that were actually crushed during the earthquake. We also replaced or worked on the wastewater lift station number 5 generator that was damaged in the earthquake, and the traffic way parking lot was damaged in the earthquake. In all of this, we've been working with FEMA on all these projects. They've worked hand in hand with us. While the staff have changed and they're no longer offices are located here, they've been with us each step of the way, and they have approved the projects that we have been working on each step of the way. We've made sure that our projects conform with the various requirements. FEMA is a department in the Department of Homeland Security. If you're just trying to map where everybody is, it's not a standalone department. It's within the Department of Homeland Security, and they have in FEMA their own inspector general. So in the early days of the earthquake, like when we were working on this building and we were putting together the lease agreement and things on this building, we worked with the Inspector General in Washington of FEMA to make sure that we did those programs right. Today, we have the Inspector General's office, which is a separate department under the Department of Homeland Security that is doing the audits of FEMA projects. We're proud of the work that we've done, and we expect some of that. While we always expect questions from auditors, that's their job, we expect that our programs have been really good. They're EI agents, as we continue to hear, and their role is actually to audit FEMA. They're the government auditors for FEMA. We're the grantee of FEMA. So it's not actually an audit of us, although we're clearly affected because it's an audit of FEMA. We anticipate the OIG audit exit interview, which is like the final phase of their field work, to occur in the next month, where they'll give us an indication. Well, they'll tell us what their concerns are, questions. We'll have an opportunity to provide additional information, perhaps answer some of their questions. And then once their report is actually finaled after that, they will give it to FEMA, and it'll become a public record, and whatever FEMA does with that document will be how it's finally implemented. At this time, we believe that on the three projects, the OIG will comment on each of the three projects. On the perimeter, we're happy to say that OIG is going to tell you it's an eligible project, like we've contended the whole time, that it was an eligible project owned by the city, and the improved project moving the money to the community center was an appropriate action. They may question the amount of building that was vacant or not used at the time of the earthquake. Operation School Bell had quit paying the lease, although they hadn't moved all of their equipment out of the building, and so there were some places that they're still discussing with us. We also anticipate that they're going to question a $1,300 invoice that was actually a City Hall invoice that we inappropriately put into the printery project. Again, it's important to note that we worked along with FEMA the entire project each step of the way to make sure we were doing those correctly. On this relocation, on the building here, which is essentially this building, we anticipate that OIG, like FEMA and like ourselves, when we put it together, will question the arrangement between the redevelopment agency and the city and want to understand how that goes and how that relationship is cost effective. Once again, that is specifically, we had that issue reviewed by the Inspector General of FEMA, so we feel pretty confident in the end. On the repair of the historic City Hall, we anticipate OIG to question the cost of architecture and engineering services and the cost of construction management services, and potentially a concern that we might be duplicative in some of those efforts. I think that it didn't feel like in our discussions they fully understand how we're doing the multi-prime and how the architecture and engineering work. So we anticipate questions, and we anticipate we'll continue to get questions, Inspector General. Just another on the City Hall itself, that construction network meeting, remember the meet and greet, we're asking contractors to come out and meet each other so that we make sure as many local people have an opportunity to be involved in the project as possible. It'll be Wednesday, February 23rd from noon to 1:30 at the City Hall Conference Room. And so we're hoping that a lot of people will come out to that. And lastly, just another thing that we're so excited about, the Galaxy Theater is almost ready. They'll open their doors in March, and we had a little bit of news on Friday night with all the county mayors adjoining Mr. O'Malley or Mayor O'Malley in the county mayor's meeting. We have the clip from one of the television stations.
Developers are calling one of the most state-of-the-art theaters on the Central Coast is just a couple of months from its grand opening. Let's take a look at the facts first. The Galaxy Theater will open in downtown Atascadero's Colony Square in March. Construction's been underway for about 2 years and is expected... to bring dozens of jobs to the area. Today, the theater's CEO...
Well, fortunately, Galaxy has better technology than we do, and I'm looking for that.
Local leaders a little sneak peek at the project. Ariel Wessler was with them and shows us what we can expect.
It was great on TV.
From the moment you walk inside, you can...
That's all my report.
Excellent. Well, I'll give a little brief report on that at the end of the council meeting. So thank you. And that concludes the city manager's report. Thank you. Any questions by council members? We will move on to the community forum. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to speak on an item not on the agenda. And we welcome Pastor Steve Shively.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Felt like I was in church for a moment every time we show a video that happens on Sunday morning, so I felt at home. I'm going to just pray for the meeting tonight and just want to invite anyone who wants to join me. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for all your goodness to us. We just thank you for the many blessings you're leading, and we just thank you for your goodness. I just pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Mike Brendler. I live in Atascadero, and I respectfully beg to differ with Mr. McKinney's suggestion that this FEMA audit is routine. It's anything but, and you just need to read between the lines. Last week, there were several citizens who asked some, in my opinion, very valid questions, and basically you answered three of the seven questions. The questions were legitimate. And they were questions about the governance of our city. By failing to answer these simple questions that the public has the right to ask, to me that's rather arrogant. And I hope that tonight what questions are posed, they are answered. I'm going to ask the question that was posed last week. I believe it was by Mr. Komar, and it dealt with the language, specific language in the city manager's contract. Now, we already know that the city manager has a very generous leave package. It's the best among the city managers in the county. There are 65 days of leave, not counting sick leave. But there's some additional contract language that suggests he may also qualify for an additional 10 months or 10 hours per month. And that language can be found in the employment agreement under the Section 1 duties. I'll quote from that. The city manager's schedule of work each day and week shall vary in accordance with the work required to be performed. It is recognized that the city manager must devote a great deal of time outside normal business or office hours to the business of the city, and to that end will be allowed to take time off during normal office hours. The city manager is a full-time employee. He shall not spend more than 10 hours per month in non-city connected business for which compensation is paid without the express prior consent of the city council. This language is different than other language in the agreement that does address administrative leave, vacation leave, sick leave. So it appears to be something different. And so the questions I have, is this leave separate from the leave reported in my survey that I provided 2 weeks ago? And I would like to know how it is accounted for on employee payroll records. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Council, Mayor, attendees. Whereas more than 81 million Americans suffer from one or more forms of cardiovascular disease, including high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, congestive heart failure, stroke, congenital heart defects that can lead to heart disease, and whereas many heart attack victims do not realize the sign until it's too late, only one in five is able to reach a hospital quickly enough to benefit fully from treatment. And whereas far too many Americans are unaware of the danger of sudden cardiac arrest, about 95% of victims die before reaching the hospital. And whereas Atascadero citizens are not immune from inclusion in these horrific and devastating statistics. And whereas by developing good eating habits, maintaining a healthy weight, being physically active, taking advantage of preventative screenings, and knowing your numbers, blood pressure, blood cholesterol, and blood glucose, avoiding drug, tobacco, and extensive use of alcohol, individuals and families can significantly reduce the onset and burden of heart disease. And whereas February has been declared American Heart Month, we encourage all Atascadarans to learn more about how to prevent heart disease and to join the fight against it for yourself and your loved ones. And whereas diabetes prevention and weight loss can significantly reduce cardiovascular disease and premature death, we endorse all efforts to this end, and we challenge our sister cities in San Luis Obispo County to lose as much weight as the citizens of Atascadero will lose in the year 2011. And therefore, we, the City of Atascadero, proclaim February 2011 as Heart Health Month in Atascadero. And in light of this, I wanted to inform the council and the citizens of a program here called the Jim Green Trail Challenge, which is being sponsored by the Atascadero News and our organization, the Central Coast Nurse Practitioners and Physician Assistants. An overview will be given on Thursday, February 17th at 7:30 at the AARP building, and the kickoff date is February 26th at the library. Everyone is who's concerned about their health of whatever age, want to lose weight, want to break some unhealthy habits, eating habits, are welcome to attend. There'll be professional health care providers there to give consultation with the individuals that want to participate. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Joan O'Keefe, Atascadero. Good evening, Council. And I think a lot of us would like to be as lean as Mr. Komar. Last week, during public comment, I asked four questions. I was given a partial answer to one, go through with the project. Again, what is the status of the mothballing process, and are those funds still available? If not, where did they go? Number two, City Manager Wade McKinney's benefit package includes 17 and a half days of administrative leave. This is in addition to 35 vacation days and 12 paid holidays for a total of 65 days. I asked for a definition of administrative leave. The question was ignored. Again, what is the definition of administrative leave? And additionally, does the city pay travel expenses when Mr. McKinney is on administrative leave? 3, when employees' annual benefit packages are reviewed, the item appears on the consent calendar. Items on the consent calendar are considered non-controversial, and only occasionally is an item pulled for a separate vote and discussion. Mr. McKinney's benefit package is controversial. Also, the staff report regarding his benefit package has been incomplete. I asked if the council would agendize that under management reports, which are given more scrutiny. I didn't receive the courtesy of a response. 4, the zoo is outside the redevelopment agency but was a beneficiary of redevelopment funds. I requested information about how this was justified. I received a very incomplete response to that question. After contacting Jim Lewis, I received more information. I still question the validity of the decision to expend redevelopment funds on the Great Lawn, the zoo, and the zoo wall. Another issue, strategic planning. I like to attend the strategic planning meetings. Notifications of the time and date of the meeting was sent out Thursday night at 11 p.m. that the meeting would be the next Friday at 6 p.m. and continued on to Saturday. This doesn't constitute adequate notification, and the meeting was not of an emergency nature. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Council. Steve Martin. I just want to remind you that the 10th annual Main Street Sweetheart Stroll will be this Saturday from 1 to 4 in the afternoon in your historic downtown. We have 24 merchants participating in the event this year and 18 wineries. We have live music in the streets. We have complimentary dance lessons provided by Dan and Sharon Davis between 2 and 3 p.m. at the Carlton Hotel. And $20 will get you a tasting bracelet for an afternoon of wine tasting and the opportunity to win prizes donated by our merchants. So we hope you and all of your friends will come down and join us 1 to 4.
Before such worthy causes as this, if you get your information to the city clerk, we will process that, and there is a formal way to follow up on that. And we have received that proclamation, and we will get that typed up. And I assume we'll be able to present that probably before a council meeting in the near future, hopefully in a couple of weeks.
Yes, we could do it on the February 22nd, I believe.
Okay, so let's try to do that so we can keep it in February, as we just did one just previous to this council meeting. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. And I have to say, I really like nurses. They do a great job for us, and I think that's important. Some exercises and good points you brought up. I will, Councilman Kelly.
Yes, I'd just like to compliment Mr. Komar for what he's doing really in the whole community. The heart deal is kind of close to me. I'm one of the 5% people in that group there. And the presentation that you're going to put up at the AARP building on the 17th, I think, is great for the community. I'm also on the Atascadero Hospital Board down there, and you were complimented at our last advisory meeting for what you're doing down there with regards to diabetes and dietitian and what have you. So I just want to thank you for what you're doing for the community. I think it's an honorable deal. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Councilman Clay.
I'd just like to comment on the Jim Crean Trail. It's a nice place to walk. I walked it many, many, many times, and it's enjoyable. You go through the oaks and wind around. It's up and down, so it's a great walk, and encourage anybody to go there and do it.
Yes. Well, it does remind us all that we live in a great community with a lot of volunteer spirit, and you mentioned the Jim Green Trail and so many things we have in our community because of volunteer efforts. So, again, thank you. As far as personnel items, there are a lot of personnel laws specific that give us guidance, and we follow all of the laws related to personnel issues. Is there any other items that need to be clarified?
Well, why don't we touch on the mothball?
Well, I'm going to direct it, let staff follow up.
We can bring you back a report on mothball if you want. At this point, we have delayed that project. We have not moved forward on the project given the ownership difficulties, if you will, around the printery. We did work to get access and have developed design discussed would be, it wouldn't be additional leave. That allows me, as city manager, to work on another project on some for some other agency being paid 10 hours a month. So if I did a strategic plan for another city that paid me, that doesn't really happen very often, but if somebody actually paid me, then I would be allowed to do that. I could take time off using my own time to then go work someplace else for 10 hours. So the idea is that I only work for the city of Atascadero and that I don't have the ability other than 10 hours a week to work for a second job or another location.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions by council, we'll move on to our first.
I did have a question.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Councilwoman Ponce.
Ms. O'Keefe raised a question regarding strategic planning notification. I was wondering if you could tell us if that was properly notified.
Yes, I can. The notice of the meeting went out on actually 3 days ahead, which was on Tuesday. The finalized agenda went out on Thursday. It's a special meeting. The law says that we have to have that out at least 24 hours ahead, and it was done before 5 o'clock on Thursday.
And so this is legally done?
Yes.
Okay. Also, there was a question regarding the zoo and how do we justify improvements outside the redevelopment agency boundary. Could we go ahead and address that at this time?
We were able to do the improvements to the zoo based upon the findings in the resolution that was presented to you. And I do have it on the computer, and I can pull it up and give more detail. But I know there was a change in the law, I believe it was effective in January of 2010. But the improvements for the zoo were done in December of 2009, and all the necessary findings were made at that time.
Thank you. And there was a question also about administrative leave, just a slightly different twist on it than what you answered, Mr. McKinney. And this might be a Rochelle question. It was, how is it accounted for on city records when you use the administrative leave?
When you use administrative leave, it does show up as admin leave on the accounting records and in the leave reports.
So I assume that that's open to the public.
Written notice, but I do think the more notice we can give is good, and so thank you for that. Any other questions? You had some follow-up, our city attorney.
Yes, I did. I found the document I was looking for. The action was taken in December of 2009, and it was pursuant to the health and safety code, as I said the last time this was raised. And the section and the findings were made pursuant to Health and Safety Code Section 33445. It's all in the record, and it's available for review by anybody who wants to see it. We have a resolution and a financing agreement.
Thank you. Other council questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to our management report. And Ms. Torgerson, are you presenting that?
Yes.
And I assume you could clarify the title a little better for us, too.
I actually put it up on the screen. I apologize. The title that you had on that report was actually my kind of working title, and I neglected to make it a little more clear for you. So it does say ticket distribution policy, but on the screen there I put down it's actually a consideration of a resolution to adopt a ticket resolution policy. And this would be consistent with the California Fair Political Practices Commission regulation, section 18944.1 is very specific there. So what I wanted to first do is briefly go over a little bit of history about the Fair Political Practice Commission, the acronym FPPC, which we all know, but it is a committee in California that was actually created by Proposition 9 in 1974, which created the Political Reform Act, which created that committee. The committee is basically, it adopts and amends the code of regulations that basically governs, basically governs and controls what candidates do when you're running for office and also anyone within the city. There are several employees within the city that also have to file Form 700s, which are the economic interest forms that you all also have to file. There are about 35 employees and about 15 between Planning Commission and Council, so there's quite a few people within the city that have to comply with these rules. So some of these forms, like when you're running for office, you have to file a Form 410 or a Form 460. Those are all requirements of the FPPC, along with the Form 700, like I mentioned. So the Code of Regulations is what the FPPC has adopted, and they amend them and change them at will all the time. One of the things that's in the Code of Regulations is gifts, and it explains how elected officials and certain city or government employees have to view gifts. If you receive a gift of any kind, it's considered a payment that confers a personal benefit. And you have to claim that on the Form 700. And any gift that is $50 or more, you have to claim on the Form 700. And from any single source, receive. And over the years, it's created more problems. And so they have adopted, the FPPC has adopted this new policy, a new code regulation that requires the cities to adopt a policy in regards to tickets. So an example, as on the screen there, if you receive a ticket from someone for a local event, or the city receives tickets to hand out to city employees or council members for an event, or if the city is sponsoring an event or helps, like co-sponsors an event, like for example, the UCSB Economic Forecast, the city usually co-sponsors that, and for that service, we also receive some tickets. And the same, sometimes the city does purchase tickets for events, such as the annual chamber dinner that we just attended in January. So all of those situations are events where attendance of public officials would serve a public service. And that's what this new regulation covers. Now, we're not talking about personal, like I said, we're not talking about tickets that you might get to go to a sporting event or a discount to go to a restaurant or something. These are events, tickets that would take you to an event that would have a public purpose. Now, a public purpose in the policy, which you've probably seen, it was on page 83 of your agenda packet, is 22. In the policy, there are 22 listings of potential public service listings. Here's just a few of them up here as an example. A public service could be an event where you would gather information or education regarding regional issues. Or maybe you're going to serve a ceremonial role. You're going to, you know, swear someone in, or you're going to be doing something of a ceremonial nature. Or you're promoting intergovernmental relations. Maybe you're meeting with other city officials. Or promoting a community program. Lots of events locally here where you're promoting the program. So that is what this regulation requires, that if the city is going to receive tickets and give them out to city officials, it needs to have a public purpose, and we need to list that. So this new regulation requires that the city adopt a ticket distribution policy. It requires that the city fill out a new form that they've created called the 802. And then we have to also post on the website so the public can see this form. And basically the form just says that this event is coming up. The city has three tickets. We're giving them to these three people, and the purpose of them going is such. And that would be on the website, and it would be there for the public to see what we were doing with those tickets. Now, it's not like we get tickets every day or even every week. This doesn't happen all that often here in Atascadero, but it is something that is easy to control. This policy, if you adopt it, it does designate the city manager to have the authority to implement the policy. So again, the tickets come to us. The city manager determines if it's an event that would serve a public purpose by sending people from the city, and then would distribute the tickets. It will also ensure that all tickets provided to the city shall be distributed for the purpose of a public purpose, and that the public will have access to the forms that we file on the website, and we'll see where we're sending people and how many tickets we have, etc. The fiscal impact of adopting this basically is just the hours that it would take throughout the year for a staff person to fill out that form and put it on the website. It's pretty minimal because we don't have a lot of tickets to distribute. So we're estimating it to be about 5 hours of staff time annually. So my recommendation is that you adopt the draft resolution establishing a policy governing the receipt and distribution of tickets or passes to city officials as per the FPPC. and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. First, I did want to thank you for doing such a thorough job on this, and I think it's commendable that as you, with your leadership, we were one of the first cities to have Form 460s on our website, which shows all campaign contributions and expenditures that a council member may have. And you also keep track of the Form 700 for FPPC, which lists any personal assets any of us have and key management staff, as well as any business income. I don't think folks realize how much reporting we actually do. There's also another law that requires for major fundraising activities on behalf of charitable organizations, and I used to do a lot of that. I do less because less folks are giving these days, but that is another area that we are keep accounts of. And we have in the past had, I think there was one time George Luna and I actually received something we had to report on Form 700 at a league event. Normally, with that dollar amount, that it's doesn't happen too often, but this would be an alternative to that Form 802. We'll have a more inclusive accounting now for when council members attend. For example, I was very proud that all five council members, I think the first time ever, went to the chamber installation dinner together. And this will give an accounting of that for the public and let folks know what we're doing and what expenditure.
I'll make a motion that the council adopt the draft resolution establishing a policy governing the receipt and distribution of tickets and or passes to city officials.
Second.
Thank you. A motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And again, thank you for your work on that. We'll move on to council announcements and reports. And we will hear from folks some of the activities they've done and get into our formal reports. And why don't I start with my left? I know you've been attending a few.
Almost minor.
They're on their okay.
Committee reports.
Okay. Well, I know, Councilwoman Fonzie, you had an extracurricular activity representing on our behalf before the Board of Supervisors on an important water issue. Could you give us an update on that?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I'm pleased to report back that I represented the council at the Board of Supervisors hearing this last Tuesday. That would be a week ago today, and they were discussing the resource conservation study for water in the North County. As you may recall, we were asserting, as did the scientific study, that Atascadero's water subbasin should be considered separately from the larger Paso Robles groundwater basin. We were given a level of severity 1, which was what we were hoping to be given. Paso Robles Basin, the greater basin, was given a level of severity 3, which will involve quite a bit of monitoring and mitigation for those who live within that basin. So we dodged a bullet on this one. We will have to watch it. We will have some monitoring that has to go forward with a mutual water company, and probably the city will cooperate with that. I do need to let you know that I was asked a question regarding recycling of water, and that would be gray water and others, did respond that I could not tell them how you would vote on such an item, so it probably will come before us at a later date because it is something that the Board of Supervisors was interested in seeing Atascadero participate in. And in terms of others, I did go to an air pollution control district meeting. It was a quite long meeting, rather heated. Nothing that specifically affects Atascadero per se, more the Oceano Dunes area and the Napomo Mesa and the particulate matter and dust that blows from off-road vehicles. Other than that, no further reports.
Thank you. Well, it would be good to do a little update. In fact,
that's pre-approved by the state, which allows you to hook up one fixture, which could be either a sink or a washing machine, and then use that directly as irrigation for landscaping in your yard. And the public or the building department has some nice information available to the public. So if anybody's interested, it's available online and also at the permit center.
Yeah, and we're way ahead on that. And In parallel to that, there's also the Regional Water Quality Control Board is sending out some information about monitoring septic systems and some of that. Russ, could you just comment briefly, because I know folks are getting these topics confused sometimes in the public as they're both being discussed at the same time.
Yeah, the Water Quality Control Board in May is going to be having a hearing on an amendment to the basin plan. So they will be accepting comments up to March 25th on the proposed changes. It's something that staff is going through right now. We're going to be preparing a memo for your use to help summarize some of the impacts and issues in that amendment. It is something that staff will be commenting on officially, and we'll be getting information to you in the coming weeks.
Very good. Well, just to close the loop on water issues, thank you, Roberta, for representing us for the board, and thanks, staff, for being ahead of the curve on gray water systems. And also, I see we have a stormwater management program annual report out. It looks like you did a good job there, Russ. So thanks for keeping us up on that. Let's continue on with council announcements or reports. Councilmember Clay.
Well, I'd just like to thank Roberta for going to the water meeting at the supervisors had. It was long. I left. I came home. I watched it on television. I saw her little blonde head down there. You know, she was about the only one left in the audience. And one of the cattlemen told me that they thought Atascadero did an outstanding job of presenting their case. So
good.
I just wanted to thank you, Roberta. And tell people, let's keep buying local whenever we can and visit those nice restaurants we got now.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Yes, I'd like to thank Roberta also. It's very important that we stay on top of this, and all of us are busy. And I know that took a lot of your time, and you've put a lot of time just into studying it and understanding it. And I appreciate it, and the city, I think, appreciates it too. I've been kind of busy. Last week, we had the Atascadero State Hospital invited a couple days later by Senator Blakeslee down there to address the problems that they have. Attended the Economic Vitality Corporation meeting, and they had presentations put on by the two solar companies that are trying to go out into the Carrizo Plains. That was kind of interesting, some of the hurdles that they were going up against. And earlier that day, we Tom and I and Steve Martin, I see, was Brian Sturvent there? We were split up at a tourism seminar down in San Luis. I found that to be extremely interesting. They had some of the top players there. Came away with some real neat ideas. I'm sure Steve has them, and I'm sure Tom got them. I had to leave a little early for that meeting. This afternoon, I attended the Homeless Service Oversight Council meeting, and that's the program where they're trying to address homelessness in the next 10 years. The meeting today was on trying to procure housing for some people, and there is some funds that became available down at the county. If there's any developers out there that have projects that are stymied due to the lack of getting some money, you could get a hold of me and I could lead you in the right direction. There's two programs, I think one with close to $500,000 in it, and the other one has about $600,000. So those would be available. And I took over the youth task force for Jerry and attended that meeting last week, and that was the first meeting of the school year, and the kids are just kind of getting together trying to make their plans for the year.
Thank you. Well, we did schedule a city schools committee for later, and I think about a month or two away, and we will report on that, Councilman Sturdivant and I. We did have quite a mayor's round table we were able to host here at City Hall, and not only did we have most of the mayors around the county, we were visited by Senator Sam Blakeslee, had Kacho Shajian's office represented, and Chairperson Adam Hill from Board of Supervisors. And we did obviously talk a lot about redevelopment. I emphasized, which I think not always folks understand up at the state level, that redevelopment produces jobs, and we emphasized that walking around Galaxy Theaters. A lot of folks there working. And, of course, Senator Blakeslee brought up, well, the state looks at this as primarily oriented towards blight removal, and I said, well, you know, what we used to have right over here was an abandoned gas station, broken windows, weeds, and we all remember what things looked like in Atascadero the the last 6-8 years ago understands that. We were just touching on regional tourism as a topic I asked the mayors to consider because, as council member, see, that's Clay, Councilman Kelly. Thank you. We attended the one with the mustache.
Need another name tag over here.
Yes, yes, thank you. But it was a good presentation, and we did talk a little bit about the SAVOR event. And, again, our city will be a big involvement there with Steve Martin's leadership. We had a good booth, often talked about, and we're going to have a presence once again this summer at the SAVOR event. We haven't had an integrated waste management authority meeting yet, and that's scheduled in a couple of months. The only thing I would comment about SLOCOG and RTA, with SLOCOG, I think, as many of our council members know, we are fighting once again state budget cuts and the possibility of a slowdown on the landscaping project around the 41-101 intersection. That's very important to our city, and we are all united in following up on that, and we want to see that finished. I did bring it up at the SLOCOG meeting with Caltrans, and we expect some follow-up. Also at the Regional Transportation Authority meeting, we did defend our bus route, and I was very appreciative for the good preparation I had from Russ Thompson and also Valerie Humphrey of our staff gave me some important backup to explain that our Dial-A-Ride program is not a taxi like I think some folks in San Luis think. It is a bus that gets around to a lot of areas where we pool passengers together and really do a lot to help reduce vehicles' miles traveled. And we support a lot of our students and elderly making it to hospital and medical appointments. It's a very valuable service, and we reminded folks that our transportation center has always met fare box, as they say. That means we are actually cost-effective bringing in revenue. The reason other cities are cutting back is they haven't been as successful. Unfortunately, with other areas cutting back, it puts Atascadero in a tough spot to keep this service. So we are fighting to keep that service going as well, and we'll keep you all informed. Other Councilman Clay.
I'd just like to comment on Joanne Main's memorial services. We really lost a champion of our community.
And there will be reports going out to the public regarding where we're going as a council and as a city in terms of economic development, which is our number one priority, and other issues will be coming forward. So keep your hat on. We're going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other, we'll move on to staff. Any reports?
No report.
I will adjourn our meeting. Thank you.
Beautiful.